911, what are you reporting?
I got a strange going on out here. Something just killed my dog.
Something killed your dog?
My dog went flying through the air over the tree. I don't know how it did it.
Okay.
Damn it, I'm really confused. All I saw was my dog coming over the fence, and he was dead when she hit the ground. I didn't see any cars. All I saw was my dog coming over the fence.
What are you reporting?
We got someone or something crawling around out here.
Did you see what it was?
There was. It was standing up. I'm out here looking through the window now and I don't see anything. I don't want to go outside. Jesus Christ, you better...
Sheriff?
Dia!
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6 foot nine, I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh.
Hey, everybody. This is Les Stroud. Yes, yes, I know. A.K.A. Survivor Man. And you're listening to Brian on Sasquatch Odyssey.
Guys, and welcome to this week's bonus episode of Sasquatch Odyssey. Thank you guys so much for clicking play. It is Sunday. I hope you guys have had a great week. We've got two amazing guests lined up for you, but as always, I want to start the show by inviting you. If you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email. You can get me at brian@sasquatchodyssey.net. You can head over to the website, check it out, become a member there, and help support the show. As I said, we've got two great guests lined up for you. This is the show that I posted over on Paranormal Odyssey earlier today, and it's a couple of folks with Bigfoot stories. So no aliens and no abductions and none of that crazy stuff. Just Bigfoot. But it's kind of Bigfoot with a twist because they've got some interesting stories. Jim's got some interesting stories that have to do with mind speak or possible mind speak and some sort of telepathic communication with the Sasquatch, but I'll let him tell that in a minute. And this interview at the end of the show, the second interview, is with Jared from New Mexico. And this is something that I dug up. I didn't even realize I still had this audio. It's from last February, like the end of February of last year. So I've had this around for a long time, and I listened to it, and it was interesting. There's some interesting facets to the story, and I think you guys will understand when I say that I'm not exactly sure about these stories. I always say this. Everybody's experiences are their own, and I don't sit in judgment of anybody's experiences. So, that said, I'm going to let you listen to Jared's stories, and you make up your own mind here. I'll let you take away from them what you want. Real quick, if you haven't already done so, please rate and review the show. And like I said, if you would, check out our Patreon page, consider becoming a member, and help support the show. But enough of that. I know you guys are ready to get into your bonus episode, so I'm going to shut my mouth and let the music play. You guys sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. So I want to welcome our guest to the show. It's Jim from Western North Carolina. Welcome to the show, man.
Thanks, sir.
Well, I know you've got some stories to tell us, so why don't we just get right into it? Why don't you just take us back to where you were, what you were doing, and what happened to you?
Well, a little bit of background. I've always hunted since I was about eight. Hunted, hiked, fished all over Western North Carolina. Never really thought about Bigfoot, anything like that, until a couple of years ago. Had an experience. My son and I were hiking. We were about 8 miles from the truck. We had stopped to take a break and we'd sat down on a log, and out of nowhere came the most blood-curdling roar I'd ever heard in my life. And it was not a bear. I've had several run-ins with bears. One of them as close as 8, 10, 12 feet going to a deer stand in the morning. Never really got to thinking about Bigfoot until then. And he and I talked about it as we were leaving. I'd talked to several other bear hunters about it just to see if maybe it was a bear. Talked to one wildlife officer. He said he had never heard anything about it. So didn't pay really much attention to it until the year after that. I was actually by myself hiking and had came into a saddle that I had hunted probably a dozen times with my dad growing up. I got into the saddle and it got really, really dark and fuzzy looking, just almost like a blur. And I had the overwhelming sensation that if I didn't get out of there, I was going to die. I mean, it was just, it was scary. So I immediately left. Couldn't explain it, never told anyone about it until I told my son this past week. So after that, a couple of years ago, I was hiking in a spot not far from there, just over the mountain, and coming out, went in, no problem, out, you know, probably 8-10 mile hike. And as I was coming out, and I attributed some of it to me, some of it I really don't know, but just got the sudden feeling or the thought. And that's why I reached out to you after watching your interview with Les Stroud. The thought came into my head or whatever, just out of the blue, do you want to see how scary I am? And I had just walked by a logging site where they had a bunch of logs piled up. And I just turned around and I looked and I heard something behind the logs. And I thought, surely there's nothing back there. And I was just like, yeah, it's time to go. So I turned around and walked off. And the reason I reached out to you is when you and Les were talking, when he mentioned the mind speak thing, that really struck me hard on those two occasions. When I was getting into the saddle on the mountain, it got dark and fuzzy. I knew if I didn't get out of there, I would die. There's no doubt in my mind. I don't know what it was. Not much scares me, but that did. And then the day, you know, whatever that was that said, hey, you want to see how scary I really am? You know, that boogered me up. I probably didn't hike for 6 months after that. Hike or hunt. And then I was talking to my dad about some things, and my dad's 84 years old. Same as me, hunt, fished all his life. He said there was only one place that he had ever been in the woods that he didn't like, that he felt uncomfortable at. And it was within a mile before I had those two experiences. So that was kind of strange. I'd actually tried to reach out to David Plice about that spot where it got real dark and blurry. I know in one of his videos, he had mentioned people saying that they have ran into stuff like that, where the woods just gets blurry and stuff. And I've had one experience since that, which was about 3 months ago. And it was actually called Cemetery Hill, Cemetery Mountain, that I had that experience. And just out of the blue, limbs, there was no wind, beautiful, clear sky day. Limbs start snapping, breaking for 3 or 4 minutes, you know. I just stood there and listened to it. It sounded like it was moving away as it was going. Usually a bear, 2 or 3 seconds, and they're gone. You don't hear them anymore. I heard that for a good solid minute and a half. But my son and one of his friends heard a similar roar probably 6-8 months ago. They were probably 20 miles away from where my son and I heard the first roar. But I'd never really thought about it until I had watched And I don't know how I came across David's videos and stuff, but I had thought about that, you know, particular incident on the mountain in the saddle. But I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Well, let's go back to the first time you guys heard the roar. Can you explain for me and the audience what that sounded like? Because I've heard tons of vocalizations that people attribute to Bigfoot, right? We've heard the Ohio howl and things like that. What did the roar sound like as close as you can describe it for the audience? What would be something similar that maybe we could sort, I don't know what the word would be, not attribute it to, but what do you think would be similar that we would recognize in the animal kingdom that this thing sounded like?
A lion, but it was probably, it was longer than 10 seconds.
That's definitely a long time, man. That's a lot of lung capacity to keep a sound up for 10 seconds.
Yeah. And you know, it's kind of strange where we were at as the crow flies, probably 2 or 3 miles away, there was a housing development. And after that roar, you could hear several dogs in that development start barking. So that was the travel. That's how well it traveled.
As far as the mind speak is concerned, and Les, when I talked to Les about it, he called it telepathic communication, right? Telepathy is basically, right. You know, mind speak is one of those things that's come up in the Bigfoot community. And that's something that people use as a catchphrase to talk about some of the woo stuff in Bigfoot, right? But Les said, let's call it what it is. It's a telepathic communication that I had with something that I can't explain. And I've talked about it before. I don't know what Les heard, right? I don't know what it was. I don't know. You know, I've asked other people that have had similar situations happen, including Les, you know, could it have been something else? Could it have been your mind implanting these thoughts into your brain? And it felt like at the time that you heard this telepathic communication with something outside of you when actually it originated with you. So I'll ask you the same question. You know, at the time and now looking back after you've had these experiences, are you certain, as certain as you can be, right? Because we're all speculating about all this stuff, really. Are you as certain as you can be that that's what you experienced? And do you really believe that it was a Sasquatch that you were having that connection with?
I honestly, when I felt like, when I walked into the saddle of the mountain and it got dark and blurry, I do not know what happened. It was not me. I felt it through my whole mind, my body, my heart. I knew if I did not get out of there, I would die. What it is, I don't know. No idea. The second time when I felt like something said, hey, do you want to see how scary I really am? That may well have been me. Typically, when I go hiking, I don't think about stuff like that. I'm trying to get things off my mind, like work, that type of stuff. But yeah, that I had very well could have been me. More than likely could have been me. But the day in the saddle, I have no idea what it is. You know, I'm a Christian. I believe in God, go to church. Maybe that was the spirits saying, hey, you know, you need to get out of here for some reason or not. I don't know. A very good friend of mine who has he's a doctor in theology. He's from Oregon and he believes in Bigfoot. He will tell you flat out, there is too many credible witnesses from very decent, honest people that have seen it. He says, you know, it's got to be true. As far as me, I've never seen one. I've heard some crazy stuff in the woods. Usually never pay any attention to it. But those two times, especially the first time, yeah, I don't want to go through that again. That was, you know, I've been in several wrecks. I've had some pretty bad accidents. Nothing has scared me more than that day.
Well, I definitely think that's saying a lot, man. And I've talked about it before on the air. I don't like to talk about my experiences, but The only thing I can relate to it, because I've never had an experience where I believe that I've had some sort of telepathic communication or mind speak with a Sasquatch or anything else for that matter. But I know and I believe in this sixth sense that we have, right? Because I've experienced it as a cop. I've told the story before about walking up on this car at, you know, 3 or 4 in the morning with 5 guys in it. And this guy was going to shoot me. He had a gun in his hand, you know, and something told me that hair on the back of my neck stood up and said, something's not right here. You know, it wasn't a Bigfoot because I'm in the middle of Atlanta, right? But something told me that. And instead of walking up directly to the driver's side of that car, I went behind my patrol car and snuck up on the passenger side. And this guy's holding a weapon to shoot me. So I believe that that happens, whatever it is, the spirits or whatever the case may be, whatever you believe in. I certainly believe that that is possible. I don't think it's necessarily a supernatural thing. I think a lot of it could be explained with just our DNA and our makeup as humans and the things that we've evolved to be over time. But I can't attribute that to what you're describing. And I can't attribute that to what Les described that happened to him and some other people that I've talked to that have had these experiences in the woods. It could be, like you said, as simple as the spirits telling you you needed to leave because a tree was going to fall if you kept on the same path. It could have been that simple, right? But at the same time, I've heard it so many times with people who have had experiences with Bigfoot, whether they've seen it or not, or whether they've heard things or experienced other things, it's always that overwhelming feeling of dread that people get that they can't explain. And then they either have an experience or they get out of there and they avoid the experience. That's really the only two things that ever happen when that happens. Some people press on and some people say, all right, self-preservation's kicking in here. It's fight or flight and I'm going to leave. So, you know, and it's hard to say what would have happened, if anything, had you stuck around. But I think with the dread and the things that you were feeling, I think you probably did the right thing by getting out of there for sure.
Well, it's honestly hard to explain. The fear, the dread, the anxiety that came upon me that quick. I mean, I was having a ball hiking. You know, I average 15 to 17 minutes a mile in the woods. I was just getting it, just having fun. And then just all of a sudden, it hit me. And, you know, I just stopped and I thought, what in the world? You know, and it kept getting worse. It was almost like the air in my lungs was being squeezed out, if that makes any sense. And I was just like, yeah, I need to leave. But the one time, you know, where it very well could have been me in my own mind saying, you know, you want to see how scary I am. I have no explanation for that. I don't have an explanation for any of it, but, you know, all of these experiences where I live are within a 5-mile radius. I can go outside that 5-mile radius and never have a problem, never have an issue. And within that 5 miles, the Blue Ridge Parkway is within 2 miles. And why it came to my mind about the Blue Ridge Parkway, I don't know. But, you know, if you've ever really researched the Blue Ridge Parkway, there's a lot of land, none of them around houses, very little access except for pull-offs, a few roads that cut through it, dirt roads, that type of stuff. And, you know, here in the last couple of months, I've really started trying to research the parkway, kind of pinpoint, triangulate it from where I've had experiences. But, you know, to me, it's just strange.
Yeah, there's a lot of strange things that go on in and around the Blue Ridge Mountains and state parks in general. You know, obviously, you can go on and look at the missing 411 stuff and go down that rabbit hole any day of the week. I've done it many times. There's always these unexplained things that go on, and I think a lot of it has to do with the land. I've talked about that on the show before with other people. It's not just what's there. I think a lot of times it does have to do with the land and what's around the land and what's went on there in the past and things like that. So let me ask you this. I don't ask this question of everybody who comes on the show, but given these experiences, you didn't see anything, right? You didn't have a sighting of what was going on and what you were feeling. And given your background and your history, and now that you've had time to look into Bigfoot, What do you think these things are? It's a two-part question. What do you think these things are? And why is it that you think in 2022 we still haven't found proof that they exist? And do you believe they exist?
I believe that there is a very good chance they exist. And not to give Les or anybody else, you know, when he was in the Smoky Mountains with Scott Carp, and he mentioned the spiritual realm. After talking to my friend that's a doctor in theology, I can see more and more that if they do exist, it would be more of a spiritual type rather than an ape, if that makes sense. If it was just an ape, I think that would have been evidence a long time ago. There would have had to be either bones, a body, you know, but too many people have seen it and it just vanished that quick. I don't know. That's just me.
That's an unfair question because we're all speculating, right? That's why I usually don't ask the question, because it is kind of putting people on the spot, because you're talking about A, something that's not supposed to exist, B, something that neither of us have seen. You know, other people have claimed to see them. Neither one of us have claimed to see a Bigfoot. And you're talking about speculating about all of these things. So, you know, I've evolved over the course of doing this show and over the course of doing research and, you know, sort of forging my own path. And I say it often, 6.5 days out of 7, I believe that these things are probably flesh and blood creatures. But there are times when you do have stories that don't make a whole lot of sense. And if people are not lying, if they're not making things up and they're not lying, and there's not a misidentification, there's got to be something more to these things, because they do just disappear. You know, mm-hmm. It's like they vanish like a fart in the wind and they're gone. They're there 1 minute, they're gone the next. There's a trackway that ends in the middle of a field and it's gone. You know, there's all these different things that surround the phenomenon itself. So I don't know. At the end of the day, like I said, it's an unfair question and it's speculation, but I do appreciate your answer, because you're entitled to your opinion just like everybody else.
And you know, it may be extraterrestrial. I don't know. Whatever it is, I just hope I never have the experience like I did in the saddle, because that was very unpleasant.
Yes, I say it all the time. You know, some of the most frightening encounters that I take are some very similar to yours, where you see nothing. You know, mm-hmm. I've been scared to death in the woods when I was a kid, and even since being an adult here on my property in North Carolina, just from things that I've heard, and haven't seen anything. And I can't imagine if all the stories are true, if all the anecdotal evidence is true, and people that have claimed to see these things really have seen them, I don't know how they sleep at night. Because I couldn't imagine walking up on whatever this thing is, 8, 9, 10 feet tall in the middle of the woods in the middle of the night. I couldn't imagine.
I've had conversations with wildlife officers about black mountain lions, black panthers, and they will tell you they do not exist. I have seen one, and a lot of people don't believe me, but I've seen it in the broad daylight at 10 minutes after 12 in the afternoon. Who's to say that Bigfoot doesn't exist? You know, I talked to a wildlife officer, not a wildlife officer, but a Forest Service employee. And as a joke, one of my friends is retired from the Forest Service. So as a joke, I was talking to another one and I asked him, I said, why don't you give me a guide license for Forest Service property? I will take people out on guided Bigfoot tours for money. I'll let you know who's going, where we're going, when we're going, how many. And he was all about it. He was like, that's all we want to know. Where's people going to be, when they're going to be there, you know, during the day, during the night. To me, that kind of struck me odd. I mean, why do they care?
Yeah, and that's another rabbit hole we could go down. So many different ways. What does the government know? What do the wildlife people know? What do they not know? Again, at the end of the day, it's all speculation. I tend to have my own opinions about what they know and what they don't know. But I believe on some level, there is some knowledge of whether or not these creatures are real. And if they are real, they probably have a pretty good idea of where most of them are and what they are.
Right.
Well, Jim, I really appreciate you coming on, man. I know that wasn't an easy thing for you to do, and I really appreciate you trusting me enough to come on and share your stories on the air, man. I really do appreciate it.
Well, dude, I appreciate you. I appreciate you as a law enforcement officer, what you did there, and thank you. Thank you for having me.
Stay tuned for more Sasquatch Odyssey. We'll be right back after these messages.
All right, folks, I want to welcome our guest tonight. It's Jared from New Mexico. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. So I know you've got some experiences you want to share with us. Why don't you just go right into it? Tell us where you were, what you were doing, and what happened to you, man.
I'm a treasure hunter for like 28 years around the Four Corners area, the Spanish Gold, just different things like that. You know, and I've been, like I said, blessed. I say it's a blessing that these things have interacted with me. I go out to these places. This place is wild. The Four Corners, it's just got so much history and so much things. It's just amazing around here. But it's not really the place you would think that there would be a lot of Sasquatch, because there's not real, it's not real wooded. I mean, there's, you know, a lot of rocks, a lot of rock structures, but they, these things are really amazing. I'll tell you, they've interacted with me several times, and more than likely none closer to civilization than you would think, you know. My first picture, I got two pictures of them. And then the first one, he was out in a canyon rock structure, was against a rock structure, but I didn't see him until I got home and looked at the picture. I mean, they blend that good. I don't know if they're like a chameleon effect or how they do it, but he was the same color as the rock. They were there, you know. And I've got another picture of one, and he's totally black because he's in the shadows. It was a daytime picture, and he's in the shadows, and he's totally black. So I don't know if, I don't think things can change colors as with the light or what they can do, but they are truly amazing. And I feel blessed that they've showed themselves to me so many times.
You got those photos of them, and did you know what you were looking at? You said the first one you took the photo, and then you saw the Sasquatch in the photo later.
Yeah, after when I got home and I was looking at the pictures, and I was like, whoa, no way. And he was standing in a gap between two rocks. He was the same color as the other rock. He was looking over his shoulder at me. And I was like, wow, you know, but this one would have been about 13 foot tall.
I'd definitely love to see the pictures, man.
Yeah, I think I downloaded them to you, but if not, when we get done here, I'll download them to you again, and you can check them out.
Yes, that'd be great. So what other experiences have you had other than seeing these things a couple of times and snapping some photos, one of which you didn't even see it until later on? What other type of interactions have you had with them?
There's a certain road here that goes along the river several times. They've been right in the same area. I had about a 20 foot cliff off the side of the highway there, and I was walking down the highway and something hurled a rock at me, and this rock was like 30 feet or 30, probably 30, sorry, excuse me, probably 30 pounds. I mean, I picked it up and I chunked it, and it couldn't, I threw my maybe 10 feet, 15 feet is all I got. But this thing came flying from way up top and it almost hit me. I was like, whoa. I was like, hey, I'm not here to hurt you guys, you know, or whatever. And then I just kept walking about 75 feet up. I looked up to the side and I could see the silhouette of three more behind these bushes, behind this bug brush. And they went in like side steps. So I was going towards his family. That had to been the big male up there. And he was telling me not to, you know, mess around. I guess that's the only reason I can think he threw the rock at me. Cause I seen that silhouette of his family about 50, 75 feet up on the hill. I was like, whoa, that's cool. You know what I mean? And then right at the same area one day, I was up there singing, and I got a bunch of tree knocks. And I would sing back at this knock, and it would knock back at me. It would sat there and interacted with me for about 5 minutes. It was really cool. And the only thing I can think is that there has to be Sasquatch. And then later on, that's when I seen the family, and they got the rock thrown at me. I mean, this rock was huge. I mean, no human could have thrown that rock that far. You know what I mean?
What kind of terrain are we talking about in this area? Is there a lot of brush? Is there a lot of woods for these things to hide in? What kind of terrain are we talking about?
Yeah, on the river bottom, yeah, you got lots of cottonwood, lots of buck brush, real thick vegetation. But I've seen the two pictures I took of them weren't in the riverbeds. They were up off the riverbeds and in the rocks structures. I don't know if you know Farmington area, New Mexico. It's the mesas. You know, sandstone cliffs, rocks, small cedar trees. I mean, there's not really a lot of coverage, but that's why I think that they had some kind of way to hide, some kind of way to change their color. I don't know. But the two pictures I've got of them, they were the same color as what they were in. You know, they were in the shadow. He was black. You know, that guy was right next to the rocks, and he was the same color as the rocks. Like I say, I don't know. There's not a lot of coverage. Just like I say, it's not an area you would think there would be a lot of Sasquatch, but there's a lot of activity here. I see them all the time. Or not see them, but I interact with them, you know, sometimes. Then one time I was coming down the same road where the rock was thrown at me, and I looked off into the river. It was mid-afternoon, and there was one standing out in the water probably about up to his knees. And he just stood there. He did no movement. I walked that whole about a half mile stretch, and I looked back. He was there sitting in the same spot. He would not move, and he was like a brown and a white color, you know, white. I don't know, like he was trying to blend in with the back of the river, the background, you know what I mean? And I was really, I don't know. I don't understand it, but I know that they're there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, what other interactions have you had with them? Has that been pretty much what you've experienced, or has there been other?
Yeah. That's pretty much it. I mean, tree knocks, occasional tree knocks, that they take rocks and they crack. I've heard that. And I used to always think that there would be a cat. I'd be out here exploring here in the woods. And you can always feel if something's watching you, or if there's something like a cat or something following you, or something to that effect. And I always feel that when I'm in certain places. And I'm pretty convinced that that's what it is. It's Sasquatch. But they are so good at hiding and staying invisible that I don't even know they're there. I just feel them.
I guess it would help a little more if you knew a little more about the history of this land. It's really amazing here. There's a lot of hidden things, a lot of hidden truths, a lot of hidden treasures, a lot of blood spilled over gold and things like that centuries ago, you know. Like I said, I just feel blessed that they have chosen to, because I believe if you see one, I believe they want you to see them.
I don't think that they just have accidents that show themselves to people. I just don't think that. I think they're very connected to the spiritual realm. And I personally am. My faith is strong, and I pray a lot, and I spend a lot of time in the spirit. And that's another reason that they chose to confine in me or whatever it may be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess I've heard that from other people, man. They think that these things are way more than just some big dumb ape in the woods, and that they have some sort of spiritual connection in some cases with people. So it's, you know, it is what it is. I don't know what they are. I've never seen one. And I'm interested that you said the picture that you had, the one that you took and then you saw it in the picture later, you said this thing was like 13 feet tall. That is huge, man.
At least 13 feet. And I've got some more pictures of right at the top of that mesa where I'd taken that picture. There were two rocks, and these rocks were huge in the one bottom, and it looked like something picked that big rock up and stacked it on the other one, because it crumbled the top of the rock, and it was just sitting up in a lean-to structure, like a shelter. And for something, it would have to be that big to pick up that rock and stack it like it was stacked. You know, it's just amazing. And I can send you that picture, too. It's just really, really, I mean, there's too many things, trees, like cedar trees, pine trees, ripped out of the ground and shoved in the ground upside down. You know, I mean, what does that, you know? I've got pictures of another rock lean-to, but it had branches like weaved together on the top of it to cover it. And it was out in the middle of nowhere. So, I mean, humans didn't do that. And the only critter I think that could do that would be Sasquatch, you know? It's really amazing. There's just all kinds of interactions as far as that goes. As far as actually seeing them, I just have the two pictures and then that one that was in the river that day.
I'd love to see the pictures. So feel free to email them over. I'd like to be able to post them up and let everybody take a look at them for sure.
Okay. Yeah, I will. We'll get done here. Yeah, the pictures of the home that I found where the wood was weaved and braided together. It was really awesome. And it wasn't that old. I mean, it was less than 40, 50 years old because the wood wasn't rotted away or nothing. So, I mean, it wasn't like it was ancient something. It was just weaved. It's really cool because the only critter I know that could do that would have to be Sasquatch.
I'd definitely like to have the photos and take a look at them, man. I appreciate you coming on and sharing your stories with us.
Yeah, anytime, man. You guys when we come back, I got all kinds of stories. So I can keep going. I've been doing this area for about 28 years. And like I say, this place is amazing. And there's so much hidden truth that they were covered up. And it's just amazing. It's just the knowledge is truth. The truth is knowledge, and knowledge is treasure to me. So that's what I'm now here seeking, is knowledge and the knowledge of the Sasquatch and that's being, and how amazing they are. Is just I feel blessed and thankful to even see them or have interaction with them.
Yeah, it's definitely not every day. There's people that spend 40, 50 years in the woods seeking these things, and they never get so much as a glimpse. So to be able to have a couple of experiences like that and to be able to see them is certainly something special for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, I know they're spiritually connected to say God or whatever it may be, because that has to be the connection I have with them. Is that. I mean, it would have to be. Because like you said, not everybody sees them, and it doesn't happen every day. You know what I mean? And I've had several interactions with them, and I just feel blessed and very, very fortunate.
Well, awesome, Jared. I appreciate you coming on and sharing, man.
Yeah, I appreciate your time, Brian. And like I said, anytime, I'll be done talking to you guys.
Awesome. You have a good night.
Okay. All right, buddy. Thank you. Bye.